So it's a very broad pan-ecosystem, pan-industry initiative, probably the first of its kind anywhere in the world. So really proud that our ecosystem has come together and put together something like this. And we're hoping a lot of useful solutions and impactful solutions from this ecosystem would come, which will help us save some lives and make a real difference in this, in fighting this COVID epidemic.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to a new episode of the Insights podcast series from Axel. I'm your host, Anand Daniel. In this episode, I'm going to be chatting with my partners Subrato Mitra and Prashant Prakash, two very experienced VCs who were entrepreneurs before and have seen other downturns in the past. I wanted to hear from them on how they see the current COVID situation as it relates to this VC and startup ecosystem, and also how they see this playing out over the next couple of years. Let's dive right in. Welcome back to the podcast, Prashant.
Thanks,
and Subrato. Thanks for taking
good
time.
Good to be back here. It's been an eventful set of weeks.
Yeah. It definitely has been. Yeah.
Great to be here again, Anand.
Thanks, Prashant. So I want to start it out with maybe your experience from previous crisis situations such as 2001 and 2008, those time frames. If you can reflect back, what were you doing? And maybe compare it to what we are currently going through. So maybe, Subrato, you can kick it off. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So 2000 was actually very interesting for me. I had just started a new startup, which was partly in India, partly in Silicon Valley. And January 2000, the situation was that everybody who had a good job till December before was leaving the job. And I don't know if you remember, NASDAQ hit a local high around March of 2000. And then for, I think, almost 15, 18 years, and didn't come back to that mark ever again. So everything started melting down, including the dot-com burst. And then eventually 9/11 happened, which was sort of the big catastrophic kind of event around that time. Silicon Valley shut down, and it became really hard for a lot of tech companies and a lot of startups. But, you know, even compared to that, what I see today is actually a lot more global. It's not limited to tech alone or certain sets of people. It's actually almost seems like every person on planet Earth might get affected by this one. So to that extent, it's like really different.
Got it. Prashant?
So I think around that time was when I was running Netcraft, which was in the dot-com building business. So 2000 is when we really got impacted. So the whole dot-com bust kind of dried up most of the business we had. And whatever little business we managed to hold on to disappeared with the 9/11 in 2001. Mm. So it was really a double whammy. And very, very tough, you know, for a company that was around, we were around 600 employees, and we had to shrink down to about 250. But I think the positive part was that we kind of pivoted to becoming a B2B internet service provider. And that led us to getting more business from enterprises and becoming a more sustainable business over time. So it was a good thing that we moved away from the dot-com to the more stable B2B businesses.
Mm. And how would you compare that to what's happening now, Prashant?
Anand, I think the magnitude of having these two back-to-backs were, as a founder, something that I think would be very similar to what entrepreneurs would be going through. And the one big learning from that period was that it does take a long time for things to come back. So although 2000, 2001, you know, is when this happened, it was really not until 2003, 4 that really the market got back. So I think if you correlate it back to now, and what we are trying to tell our founders, that this may not be as short as what sometimes it looks like. So we probably are in this for a significant period of time in the current mode.
Yeah. And anything from the 2008 experience, either of you, Subrato?
Yeah. So 2008, actually, you know, Prashant, me and Mahindran, we were all part of Erasmic and just had joined. Axel middle of the year. So June is when we kind of signed off to work together. And then we decided that it was middle of the summer, so we'll wait till fall to go out to fundraise. And in between June and September, actually closer to September, a lot of the meltdown happened. And so we were actually fundraising. Each of the LPs that we would meet would actually remind us, you know, how bad a time it was. Luckily for us, you know, being a part of Axel helped, and then having the ability to raise a smaller fund, that actually helped. And of course, it worked out very well in the end, but it was a big impact for the global ecosystem. And again, in the US, even the banking system was under question. So there were a lot of fundamental issues that showed up in 2008. But again, I would say it was different from what we are seeing today or what we are going to see in terms of the impact globally of what's happening right now.
Got it.
And 2008, Anand, was a little bit of a US-centric thing. And, you know, we did feel some of it here in India. But I think it was very early days of the entrepreneur and venture ecosystem. So we didn't see a significant impact of it. It was not as bad as the 2000-2001.
Yep. Yeah, that's also true. So maybe let's talk about the current situation. I think a bunch of the VC and startup ecosystem has come together to try and help in this crisis, right? Prashant, maybe can you talk about the effort that's going on currently?
Yeah, Anand. I think during these times, the entire founders and the VC ecosystem, some of the advisors and the broader participants of the ecosystem all thought it was important to come back and do our bit, both for the companies and the founders that we support and for this specific COVID situation that we have. For the founders, what we have done is what everybody's gotten to do is create a set of resources that will help them navigate these tough times. So there is a site called actgrants.in. So if any of the founders can go to that site, and there are a bunch of resources that will help them on various aspects of dealing with situations with their companies and fundraising and so on. But the other initiative is also very interesting, which is, you know, we think that there are great teams out there with ideas that have a lot of leverage. If we can take advantage of the broader platforms that we have in our ecosystem, the e-commerce platforms, the services platforms, the logistics platforms. So technology-led teams that can look at, you know, solving specific problems. It could be around telehealth. It could be around finding ways in which they can build the next best ventilator, splitter. You know, so there are multiple types of startups that we are starting to see come up, and they need a little bit of capital to get started. And it was that thought process that led us to build this 100 crore grant fund. And we have already made 7 to 8 investments. We have 50 odd different analysts and principals from different organizations who are part of the prospecting team and who are looking at these investments. And then we have about 30 to 40 plus venture funds who have all pitched in and invested into this fund. So it's a very broad pan-ecosystem, pan-industry initiative, probably the first of its kind anywhere in the world. So really proud that our ecosystem has come together and put together something like this. And we're hoping a lot of useful solutions and impactful solutions for the ecosystem, from this ecosystem would come, which will help us save some lives and make a real difference in fighting this COVID epidemic.
That's actgrants.in, correct?
Yes.
At grants.in. And just to clarify, this is not investments from a VC fund, but this is personal investments from a CSR perspective to as a grant that purely to help the COVID-19 situation with scalable solutions like the ventilators and rapid testing and other things, right?
And we have received more than 500 plus proposals so far. And there's a section on the website where they can go submit their idea. Wow. And somebody will get back to them.
Great. This is a great initiative. I'm glad that all the VC funds that are not known to work together have come together to work on this. So that's amazing. So I want to switch gears and talk about the venture ecosystem currently. How do you see it, the current state of the Indian VC ecosystem? Maybe Subrato, you can talk about the, you can kick it off.
Yeah, I think the VC ecosystem, I think, you know, has 10 to 20 of these early stage funds that we typically work with. And then there are the other parts of the ecosystem. My belief is a lot of this are fairly well-known, you know, multi-decade kind of institutions. So most of these should be able to, you know, survive through this and be able to kind of raise new funds at the appropriate times. Maybe the only stretch is less known, smaller funds or the first-time funds. That might find it slightly harder to go raise a bunch of money right now because you know, everybody would be a little cautious in terms of new funds and new exposures.
Got it. Prashant, anything from the fund's perspective, especially as it relates to new investments, or what's the frame of mind in the ecosystem as per your read?
Yeah, in the current scenario, firms are very strongly focused on securing enough runway for their existing portfolios, capital preservation, seeing what they can do to really manage their reserves and so on. So I think they'll be very inward focused, and the earliest we can expect them to look at new investments seriously, in my opinion, is probably post the lockdown. And even post the lockdown, they'll probably want to see a quarter of businesses starting to see how customers are starting to re-engage with them and to what extent is the business really picking up. So if we take into account all of this, as we see it today, we are probably looking at least 2 to 3 quarters of not a significant amount of new investing by most funds. So at least 2 quarters.
Got it. So last year, 2019 was a big year for India. A lot of capital was deployed, I think. And then even first quarter was pretty active. So, but you're saying the next couple of quarters, at least, there might be a little bit of slowdown. Last year, supposedly $10 billion was deployed, according to a study done by Bain in India. And in the first quarter this year...
we've already, I think, deployed $1 billion.
Yes, yeah.
And hopefully companies are sitting on some of that cash so they can utilize it to run through this lean period.
Yeah, who have raised, that's true.
Yeah.
But Anand, one interesting thing to see is that companies that have a broad consortium of investors finding it valuable at this point in time, right? So you have some money that each of these investors are very kind of willing to support and bring to bear. So it's the companies that don't have a lot of investors where, you know, there is a more significant challenge.
True. Got it. So that's a good segue to on the portfolio side. What's the impact, and is it the same, or like maybe give us some flavor, Subrato, on how do you look at it from a portfolio perspective?
Yeah. So the way I'm looking at it is, you know, obviously a little bit of a sectoral color to it, and as you've seen, you know, there are certain sectors which have got badly hit. So let's say hospitality and travel and ticketing kind of companies. And so let's say we are putting that under the red category. There are obviously one or two green categories. So for example, the streaming media companies, you know, those are going through the roofs as people are sitting at home. You know, in some cases, gaming companies and these streaming companies are seeing, you know, 4 to 5x increase in their traffic volumes and transactions. And then there are people in the middle. So let's say, you know, a Swiggy or somebody like CureFit. They are operationally heavy companies and they kind of straddle between online and offline kind of model. So there, some of the offline models are seeing some friction as we start this whole journey of working from home and lockdown and things like that. But they will hopefully, you know, be able to catch up over a period of time. So that's one dimension I'm using. And then the other one is obviously the size. The large companies who've lost a lot of revenues, you know, they need to react very, very quickly because they have large, you know, teams and their burn rates are usually relatively high as compared to, let's say, a seed or series A company, which is still not out in the market with a full product. They were anyway expected not to make revenues. So they're probably okay in terms of their projections on the, you know, the runway that they have. So in the end, you know, all of this boil down to the kind of runway that you can create and can you sort of tide through this lean period and come out at the other end slightly stronger than where you are today.
That's helpful. Prashant, anything to add to that?
Anand, if you look at a few specific sectors such as fintech or B2B, there are structural issues like the credit and liquidity crunch that we have been already facing in India. Unfortunately, we probably will see a little bit of worsening of some of those, which can significantly impact the ability of some of the fintech companies to grow. And for B2B companies, their ability to manage, you know, the quality of receivables and the need to get more working capital all start to become slightly more difficult and tricky. So we will have to see how the government, this is one area where in terms of liquidity, hopefully there is a physical stimulus and there is some liquidity, further liquidity easing plans that emerge from the government. And we have some benefit of that trickle down to our B2B companies and fintech companies.
Got it. So, and then maybe switching gears, want to talk about any actionable advice to founders that you're giving to your founders and to the portfolio at large? Subhato, you want to kick it off?
So, Sure. Yeah. You know, I have always looked at startup life as really two things, right? There are stuff that you can control and stuff that you don't control. And generally, you try to do the best you can with the stuff that you don't control and kind of have a good planned way of executing on the stuff that you control. It's nothing different now, except that the amount of stuff that you don't control has probably increased, including, let's say, even the timeline when the current crisis will get fixed or get close to getting fixed. So you really need to focus on the smaller set of things that you have control over, which is, you know, where do you steer this company? Do you really need to, you know, take a good hard look at, you know, survival and how long can you survive with the money that you have? Because once you, you know, spend the money, it's not going to come back. And like Prashant said in the beginning, a lot of these, you know, revivals actually take much longer than we actually hope and pray for. So just look at some of the worst case scenarios where the revival will happen slow, but you know, you've actually lost a bunch of revenues and a bunch of traction. So how do you actually create as much of a runway as possible to tide through and come out stronger at the other end?
Got it. Prashant?
Anand, the difficulty is with with some of our companies where, you know, unfortunately, they don't have the luxury of getting even a 6, 9, or 12 month more, anything more than that. What do they do? And as we discuss, they would probably be too optimistic if they thought that the whole world will come back to normal and in 12 months they'll be able to raise money. So it's with these companies that, you know, this whole idea of them having to really take a very hard look on what is the core of the company and what is not, them with an open mind having to revisit almost every org function and see which of these functions are totally redundant or which of these functions need to be merged, all with the lens of survival, like Subrata said. I think it's a tough exercise, but in some of these companies, it would mean letting go maybe 70-80% of the organization. But that's what they might have to do if, as a leadership team, they decide whatever core that remains is going to be of value and they can build from there. But once you get to that decision of what is your core and you end up with that core, it's not easy to keep that organization which has gone through all that surgery and all that brutal restructuring. It's very difficult to keep the core team motivated. And that's when, you know, as founders, they need to really get the buy-in of the folks that were staying back and look at also changing ownership structures and other creative ways of really now almost rebuilding from scratch.
And startups go through this irrespective of, like, not only in right now, right? So they go through these cycles in the normal
all the time, right? Yeah, when you pivot, let's say, you know, your current idea didn't work and you found something else that you need to focus on, you actually have to recut the cloth based on, you know, this new design that you're looking at. So it's something that we are capable of doing. It's a question of, you know, how much of a rapport do you have with your team? Would they understand why you are doing it? And you know, the biggest goal is to get the company to get to the other end of this and then be able to grow back again. So, you know, understanding of the team dynamics, how do you keep them motivated and how do you do this in a sort of a respectful yet practical way?
Yeah. And what is a good time frame to plan for from a runway point of view if for the founders listening?
Prashant, want to take that?
Yeah, at least the current our current thinking is about 24 months at least, Anand. And anything less than that would be difficult.
So if they previously had capital for 12 to 15 months, try and somehow stretch this to 24 months.
And also, you know, there is, again, this discussions that we are having with some of our entrepreneurs where they say that, you know, why can't we look at this 6 months from today, 3 months, we'll do a little bit of a cut and then maybe relook at it 6 months. And there our advice has been, you know, take the hard medicine all at one shot, you know, don't drip feed all your bad news and keep doing this every 2-3 months. So it's better, I think, if organizations understand that this is a 24-month journey now and we might have to make some of these sacrifices upfront than kind of being optimistic and postponing them.
And like we have said, right, you know, you plan for the worst case scenario, which is, let's say, 24 months. But if you start seeing indications that things are getting better, you can always accelerate that plan, because most of our companies know how to sort of, you know, scale and execute generally better and some of the best in their categories.
Got it. So, and then maybe specific situations, what about founders who are just about to start up or pre-product market fit? Any specific advice? Is it different for them or is it essentially the same thing? Anything specific for them, Subrata?
It's a little bit different for them because there were no assumptions on the revenue. And obviously, let's say when we do a seed investment, we probably look at an 18-month period anyway when we fund. Maybe they need to extend that to a 24-month period. But other than that, you know, the jolt to the system is potentially a lot less because they didn't have the 90% or 80% loss of revenues on one day that may have happened to some of the other companies. So really, the guys who were big and getting ready to scale and accelerate even faster and have a fairly large team and therefore need to kind of bring them along, those are the guys who need to have most mature thought processes and discussions internally.
And Prashant, how about founders in the middle of fundraise or term sheet discussions? Any advice for them?
Yeah, Anand, here we have seen two scenarios. I mean, one scenario is that funds are still willing to honor the term sheet, but especially if they're close to signing or some cases sign. But some of them have kind of put a condition that they would like to see the lockdown to be lifted, or post-lockdown they would make this decision. So these are some of the trickier ones. But we have seen others where, you know, the entrepreneurs have been a little bit more flexible. They understand that, you know, revenues this year are going to take a beating. There is loss of time and hence they need to be flexible on valuation. And I think they've been able to close the term sheet and move on. So I think there will be a big important aspect of the entrepreneurs kind of accepting this new reality, and they might have to make those adjustments in valuations, which is not going to get any better for them if they wait 6 months or 9 months because of the other factors of what we said in terms of anybody else looking at the business. And somebody looked at the business 6 months or 9 months from today, they would more look at this year's revenues and not even the last 12 months revenues. So their situation could be even more dire than kind of facing the reality now and cutting a deal with whoever they are currently talking to.
Got it. Great. So on that note, maybe let's look ahead. Let's fast forward a couple of years. You said 24 months or 2 years. When we look back at this phase, how would we think about it?
Yeah. I mean, again, you have only history to go back to. Yeah. You don't know how this particular one will pan out. But historically, companies that have been able to kind of walk through some of these tough periods have come out on top. And typically they become very strong companies and be able to kind of get great results for all the shareholders. So I believe that that will probably repeat itself even now, because fundamentally global demand is there. It's a question of, you know, figuring out how to tide over a bad situation and then coming out and sort of looking at opportunities in sort of a slightly newer light. The other thing that we keep noticing is whenever these large tectonic shifts kind of happen, some of the consumer behavior actually change. You know, for example, people are sitting at home and they're now totally used to this, you know, working from home kind of culture. So can we, you know, create opportunities where within whatever we were doing or in an adjacency, like Prashant was saying, we can actually take advantage of some of these change of behaviors that we are expecting and start running some experiments, you know, maybe one or two people teams that sort of look at how do we, you know, once we come out of this scenario, are there adjacencies that we can look at, or are there a different way of distribution or presentation that we can look at? Those could actually become very, very interesting. So really, you know, be real, you know, understand the reality of the situation. The situation is bad. So work towards creating the runway. But if you do have the runway, then try to be as resourceful as possible to try and kind of imagine what the situation may be at the other end of this chasm.
Yep, that's great advice, Prashant.
So Anand, in the last 2 quarters, we have seen, even before this whole COVID situation come up, companies have been starting to kind of work towards a path of profitability. So if you fast forward 2 years, I think you'll probably see companies that have much better economic and a bottom line that can hopefully also have them go public in the Indian market, which, you know, we thought maybe some of these companies 3-4 years from now. So we could be pleasantly surprised because of what they've been able to do with their balance sheets and what they've been able to do to their economics. These companies look very attractive to go public. I mean, that is one nice positive I see coming out of these 2 years. The second positive is, in addition to almost Anand, $6 to $7 billion of dry powder that we already have, we would, in the next 1 year, hopefully there'll be still funds being raised and you could have another $8-10 billion of new dry powder that is raring to go. And if you're the business that has come out strongly on the other end, I think you can expect to get, again, a good chunk of that money and at a recent valuation. So all the hard work that you put into in these 2 years, I think there's a lot of benefits that these companies can reap in 2 years.
Got it.
So yeah, and you know, one way to talk about this is it'll probably separate the men from the boys, as they say. People that are able to guide their companies through these tough times will, you know, be able to get much better benefits, because some of their competition will probably wither away and not be able to get to the other side. And that gives you access to, you know, better profit pools and better unit economics and all of that that Prashant was talking about. So just sort of stay the course. Hard times, but really, you know, put your head down and you know, work with your team to come out at the other end and create the runway that is needed to do that.
And have there been companies created post these past cycles? Any Indian example that we can?
I mean, obviously. Sorry, go ahead.
Prashant. No. There's one example, you know, which is a current portfolio company, Shubhuto. Book My Show got created post that .com. bust and totally reinvented themselves, and they were able to survive through that 2-3 year period and reinvented themselves and came back strongly from being an offline ticketing platform to an online ticketing platform. And,
yeah, that's a good one. We did an Insights podcast with Ashish. We'll link that in this blog so people can listen to that. That's a great story. Anyway, so Prashant talked about Book My Show. Subrata, any other examples or any other thoughts on actual
looking at sort of 2000-2001 versus now, the two most interesting companies, 2000, the tech companies were Cisco and Intel. And while those companies exist today, they're not even half as interesting as some of the big giants of today, which are, let's say, Microsoft or Apple or Amazon and some of those companies, right? And Google, of course. So it's gives you this whole sense that every time you go through one of these cycles, there is a change in technology, there is a change in user adoption, and therefore new types of companies can come out on top. And then Microsoft, of course, is a survivor, which managed to move from, being a Windows company to now like a cloud company, and they're one of the best ones at that.
Also, Anand, entire sectors can undergo, transformation. And I think we are probably on the cusp of seeing something like that in education. While online education has been emerging, there's MOOCs, there's this online universities and education at home. But I think, fundamental transformation of sectors happen in times like this. And we can also kind of see that emerging in healthcare too, right? So I think that's the exciting part.
I think we have talked about it. The going will be tough in the near term, but guys who survive probably build some of the best companies globally. So just stay the course, bitter pill, but that makes you stronger at the other
end. Yeah. That's true. Any other words of encouragement during these times?
There's a lot of anxiety, Anand, that we all go through, and I'm sure founders, there's a lot of fear and anxiety around all of us. And it's during these times that we need to, show the grit and be able to be firm and steady in, first of all, get that composure internally for ourselves and then be able to project it to our team and be the leader that everybody expects from you. And it's not going to be easy if you're a founder. For the person on the top, they should use this time to access maybe a coach or a friend or a mentor, because they would need somebody to work with and confide with. And it's important for them to reach out. And in many cases, like what we are able to do with a lot of our portfolios, company founders, Anand, be also empathetic and be understanding of what they're going through and help them kind of navigate and provide that extra support from our side. So it'll be good for investors also to give that additional support when they can to the founders in terms of their emotional well-being and not just the financial.
Absolutely.
And I think we started out by looking at this ACT fund and how the entire ecosystem has come together. I think there's no reason to believe why we can't do that for some of the startup founders that actually need counsel from, maybe outside of our portfolio that could benefit from us being a good listener for a period of time or trying to help them, think through or bounce up ideas with. So I'm sure, other people in the ecosystem would love to do that as well. But it's something that I think India is still in such a formative stage that we should all do for each other.
Subhito, you just signed up for a lot of calls there.
Okay.
That's great.
I'll send them to you, of course.
Hey, Subhito, you can send it as a proposal to ACT
Grants. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, good. On that note, maybe quick rapid fire. What I'll ask a question to each of you and then the other can rapidly follow up. And I'll alternate. So first, starting with Prashant, most frequently used app these days?
I think in equal measure, WhatsApp and Zoom.
Subhito?
No, sorry. It's WhatsApp, Zoom, and things like Dunzo and Swiggy to get your groceries back home.
Most interesting piece of information, advice that you came across during quarantine, Subhito?
Can you walk around in your apartment complex? There is a whole triage of things that you have to figure out.
Yeah. Prashant.
This constant debate about, and which it's still unresolved between, asymptomatic versus aerosol-based, transmission of this COVID stuff. I think it's a constant discovery process, and that's what is interesting.
Yeah, actually, the interesting thing that I'm now beginning to kind of read about is this approach that, you have to get a vaccine or you have to get close to, 50 or larger percent, which is this the whole herd immunity that people are talking about. So unfortunately, it looks like either way that you go, it takes 12 months to get there. So one way or the other, it will take us that amount of time to completely eradicate or get close to completely eradicating this
thing. Got it. Prashant, what do you prefer, quick call or IM or Zoom?
I'm a butt of a lot of jokes for my use of the telephone. I don't think that has changed. That's still my first preferred mode of communication. But after that, I think it's a lot more Zoom and then probably IM.
Subrata?
Yeah, it's all WhatsApp for me. And I've pretty much moved to WhatsApp calling as well.
Got it. Last question. Subrata, what is the best part about working from home? This goes for all the audience. They can answer on their own as well.
No. So there are good parts and bad parts. You know, so the good part is, of course, you can slot your time and you get things done without getting disturbed and all of that kind of stuff. But the bad part is you sit in front of the TV and you start watching, you know, some of the news channels. Before you know it, a couple hours have gone by. So there's no interrupt mechanism to get you out of that mode either.
Well, Prashant, what's the best part?
Well, Anand, you know, I like to multitask, but I found that you can 10x multitask. Thank you, Shekhar, in this environment. And, you know, just a simple example, a meeting, I've seen meetings be, you know, 20, 30, 40% of the time than what an actual meeting. So things are really efficient and people get to the point. Nobody kind of is doing a lot of small talk and extending the meeting. So you're able to really have a lot of efficient meetings in very short periods of time and with 100% attendance.
So Prashant, you think that is true for new people, or is it just because you know people, you can cut through the chase and get to where you want to be?
I think in general, meetings are more efficient, Subrata. That's why I've seen even...
The calls are more efficient than
face-to-face meetings. Now...
No, that is true, but that's because of the social nature of what we are, right? And we set it up so that later on the calls can get done faster.
Yeah. True.
Cool. On that note, thank you both very much for joining and sharing your wisdom with the crowd here. So really appreciate it. Thank you, Subrata, Prashant, for joining.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Anand. It was nice.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Hope you found this podcast helpful as you navigate the current COVID-19 situation as a startup founder. We heard from Subrata and Prashant on how they view the current situation and the state of the VC ecosystem in India, as well as what they expect on the road ahead. You can find more podcasts from the Insights podcast series from Accel at insightspodcast.in, and also look forward to hearing from you at Accel_India on Twitter. Please do follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you prefer listening to your podcasts. And we would greatly appreciate it if you can leave your reviews there so that other listeners can discover this podcast. Thank you.